Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Today is the fourth in a series called God's Giving Paradigm. And we're talking about the aspect of giving. Why did God institute that in the earth? I don't have time to reiterate the last 3 weeks because I want to go specifically this week into what I believe is actually the most important principle of God's giving paradigm. If you had to pick one thing to understand above all, it would be this. And today I want to talk to you about the principle of first. Say it out loud, the principle of first. Because God can only be first because that's who he is. He can't be second. I can make him second. You can make him second or third or fourth, but he won't be second. He is first. He is preeminent in all things. But here's what I want you to see. Is God being unreasonable? I mean, particularly when we've been talking about tithing. Now, if you haven't been a part of these services, these are not, God's giving paradigm is not about money. It's about keeping him first in your life and your heart. But, you know, it's like, God, look, I have enough issues. Really? 10% of my coin, you know, don't have enough trouble. And you're trying to, what are you, like the Godfather extracting money out of me? You know, you're cursed if you don't do this. You sound like a hitman. That's how people think. They don't understand the concept. The principle of first. Is God being unreasonable? Was Jesus unreasonable? You know, there was a group that were following Jesus, and Jesus pointed to two different individuals, and he said this to them, come and follow me. Now, you have to understand what that meant in that culture. This is Jesus, a rabbi, asking you to follow him and be one of his students. This is one of the highest privileges that can be given to you. Now, this isn't just any rabbi. They are unaware that this is the Son of the living God. This is the God of the creation of the universe in human flesh, standing before them, inviting them in this natural human life, and said, come and follow me. And they responded, and they said, but first let me go and bury my father, the one said. And the other said, first let me say goodbye to my family. And then Jesus said something that seemed totally unreasonable to me. He said, let the dead bury the dead. Well, you heartless thing. He said, if whoever puts their hand to the plow in my kingdom and looks back is not fit. I'm thinking, dude, come on, man. I mean, you're the same God that said, honor your father and mother. What's with that? It wasn't that they said, can I go say goodbye to my family? I need to bury my father. They used a word that can never be used in the place of following God. And they said, first, let me do this. Do you understand the God of the universe invited them to something? Here's what they said, first. There's something I need to do first before the God of the universe and obeying him. So I don't know that I would have never done that with Jesus. We do it every day of our life. The principle of first. If God isn't first in your life, nothing will come into order in your life. I don't care how much money you have, how much prestige. If he isn't first, your life will never come into order. And if he is first, it will. Into order doesn't mean perfection. It means that you get to walk in the principle and power of a living God who loves you intimately, and his power shows up in your life and brings order into the chaos and brings hope where there's hopelessness and courage where discouragement is, and the ability to trust him when everything around you is just breaking your heart. Let me read a scripture to you and bring you into this principle of first. Exodus chapter 13. Then God spoke to Moses and he said this, consecrate or set apart to me all of the firstborn. Everyone say all. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both man and beast. Now listen now. It is mine. God is saying the firstborn of either your animals or your children, the first male, and that was the redemptive part. We'll talk about that in a minute. He said, that belongs to me. It's mine. It's mine. And God is making it very clear that there's something that for him to be preeminent in your life, you have to respect and honor what he said belongs to him. Then in Exodus 13, verse 12, God gives them more direction as to how to do that. That you will set apart to the Lord all that opens the womb, that is, every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have. The males shall be the Lord's. But every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you do not redeem it or will not redeem it, then you'll break its neck. and all of the firstborn of man among your sons shall redeem. You need to redeem. Now, Jesus, in the scripture, this is pointing, I think you can very quickly see what this points to. In the Old Testament, there were clean animals and unclean animals. The most perfect representation of a clean animal was a lamb. That's why when Jesus was upon the horizon, when John the Baptist saw him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." You see, the animal that is clean is the lamb. And then he said the donkey represents an unclean animal. And God made it very clear, and this is very simple. He said this, if you have a clean animal born, which is a lamb, you take the firstborn and you sacrifice it before God. Everyone say the first. Not the second or third that produces, but the very first. He said, but when you have a donkey, the firstborn of a donkey, he said, you can't offer that to me because it's unclean. You can't bring before God that which is unclean because he's holy. So he said, the firstborn of the unclean must, everyone say must, it must be redeemed by the sacrifice of the clean. So the unclean has to be redeemed by the sacrifice of a clean. I hope you're seeing where this points to. But then he said something very interesting about the unclean. He said, and if you don't redeem it with the sacrifice of the clean, then kill it. So that's very unkind of God. He's trying to illustrate something very, very simple. Two things. Number one, nothing that belongs to me should be in your possession. Kill it first. That's how serious he is about it. But the second one is even more important, I believe, to God. When he's actually telling them that simple principle, break its neck. Because if it doesn't belong in your hands, don't keep it. But then this is the bigger principle to me. Anything without my redemption is going to die. Anything that you don't let me redeem in your life will die. And I don't care how smart you are, how much money you make, how clever you might be. You can own the world with a fence around it. He said, if I don't redeem your life, you will be lost forever. And he made it very clear that the only way the unclean, and he said, your children are born unclean because of sin, and they must be sacrificed. They must be redeemed. And they must be redeemed through the sacrifice of the clean. So here's the first principle. The firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. The firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. Now, here's the question. As human beings, are we born clean or unclean? Are we born with a sin nature? So are we clean or unclean? Unclean. How many of you have kids? How many of you had to teach your children to be bad? They do that all by themselves, don't they? No, don't stab your sister. Put that knife down. Was Jesus born clean or unclean? Clean. That's why the necessity of a virgin birth is so important. So the clean Jesus, if you will, had to be sacrificed so that the unclean us could be redeemed. Here's what I want you to understand about God's giving paradigm. The tithe, this is in case you can't see it because it's so small, but it does govern a lot of people's lives. The first dime of every dollar, God said, it is mine. The tithe is the redemptive portion of your money. The tithe, if you will, it redeems the other 90% and it carries the blessing of God. Tithing is actually bringing God not just the tenth or a 10% of all your income into the kingdom of God, into the church, but the first tenth. That's really important. Say it out loud, the first. The tithe is not just 10%, it's the first 10%. God didn't say, when a sheep has 10 sheep, bring me the 10th one after it's produced and now you have this increase from this animal. I want the first. Because tithing the first requires faith. Tithing the first makes me put God first in my life. And being a tither, just so you know, giving a dime, bringing, I should say, not giving, you bring your tithe, you don't give it. Because the Bible says, this God declaring of your tithe, the dime of every dollar, he said, it is mine. He said, don't bring it into your house. Don't take it from me. Don't steal it from me. There's only two things you can do with what belongs to God. You can either bring it to him or you can steal it. It's like, you know, a young kid last night, Saturday night, was at a great restaurant. I don't know if you've ever been to, there's an amazing new steak place, Napa Valley. It's a very high-end restaurant. A family in our church owns it. I'm telling you, it is, you'll see Jesus when you eat there, okay? And there's a young boy there last night, I'm sure, parking cars. And so when he's the valet parking guy, can you imagine if he went home and he said, "Dad, I gave away 5 Mercedes tonight." What do you mean, honey? I'm telling you, Dad, I gave away 5 Mercedes. How'd you do that? Well, I parked their car and I brought it back to them. No, honey, you brought them their car. It wasn't yours to give. You can't give what doesn't belong to you. You can only keep it. He didn't give anybody anything. He was bringing back what was theirs. The tithe is simply respecting and honoring the preeminence of God, the first place of God. Jesus is God's tithe. He gave him first with no guarantee, listen to me, no guarantee at all that any human being would ever respond. God gave Jesus this, in fact, he's called the firstborn among many brethren. When they were mocking him and they were spitting on him and they nailed him to a cross, God gave him in faith, believing that mankind would choose God. And the amazing nature of God and the amazing nature of man made in the image of God, he permits men to this day to reject him. People even make fun of Jesus. That bloody religion nonsense, to die on a cross, then give me a break. This is God's tithe. And Jesus, it's so very clear. Here's what the scripture said, that while we were yet dead in our sin, Christ died for the ungodly in the book of Romans. And here's an amazing thing the book of Romans says. God gave Jesus in faith, giving every one of us the opportunity to receive the firstborn so that the sacrifice of the clean could redeem the unclean. We have a great guy in our church, Patrick Cranston. He's actually back in the, he serves on the Dream Team as a volunteer, and he's back in the production room right now. There's a whole production room. People you don't see there, they're hiding out back there, blessing you with all the stuff you see going on. Thank them, would you, all those wonderful people that you never, your eyes don't see. People running the cameras, incredible people. And Patrick got involved in giving into one of the projects here. And the story of it's pretty interesting. And I want you to just take a couple minutes and listen to a story, then we'll pick it right back up.
Hi, my name is Patrick Cranston, and when Victory started the Fulfilled campaign and looking to add on to the offices and classroom area, I felt led to get involved with my company, and one of the things we do is network services, network wiring. At the time, we were having record profits with our business, and so I thought this would be a good way for me to further the message of the gospel by using our company services to help build the building. From the time we made the commitment till the time the actual construction started taking place was probably 18 months to 2 years. And the project scope had almost doubled in size, if not more than doubled in size, from what we were originally anticipating. And during that time, our business saw a downturn in profitability. So we went from having one of our best years ever to really having a year when we were really just breaking even for the entire year. I wasn't even sure we could handle the original project, and to handle double that was a big concern. So as I thought about how I wanted to proceed with the project, God really put on my heart that I hadn't really made the initial commitment out of faith. Like I said, we were experiencing record profits, and with the delays involved and then the expanded scope of the project, and then the fact that my business had, you know, suffered a bit of a downturn, I now didn't know where the money was going to come from. I didn't have it just sitting around waiting to be used. And we also needed a significant more amount of money to complete the project. So as the project was nearing completion and we started having, you know, to pay these bills, I just had that peace that God would provide. And our business just started to pick up. We started picking up contracts. We signed probably the biggest contract customer that we have ever signed. And since then, we have seen a dramatic increase in our business. And I really feel like that is due to God blessing our faith, saying that, hey, we're faithful, we're going to go out and complete this project, and God was faithful to provide that income so that we could pay for it. It just gives me a feeling of peace and satisfaction and joy that I'm able to help further that commitment that God tells each one of us as Christians to do, which is to spread the gospel to everyone in the world. And overall, I just feel joy at being able to contribute in my way.
Isn't that a great story of faith? I want to encourage every one of you, when you listen to Patrick's story, it wasn't really about money at all. It had to do with his faith toward God. Remember this. God's giving paradigm is about you trusting him and making him first. Because in the absence of trusting God with your resources, there's someone or something you trust. And I want to encourage every one of you to take the next step that is seems maybe very difficult to you. But can I tell you this? The only thing that God said put me to the test with, make me first in your life. Jesus said it this way, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all the things that those that don't know me are seeking for, I will add to you. I want to encourage every one of you to come to a place of faith, not a place of guilt, but a place of faith to trust God with the first. Because in the absence of that, this becomes your God. This dime becomes what you put your trust in. Our culture today, government is what people put their trust in. Government makes, the only thing that's worse than being a parent is being a God. Whatever you make first will become your Lord. And whatever you make Lord that is not God will put you into bondage. And that is a principle throughout Scripture, and it will be proven in every one of our lives again and again and again. So what's my next step? To get before God and take a step of faith and begin to make him first in the ABCs of Christianity. Counting to 10, this is the babyhood stage. This isn't for strong, great, mature believers. This is where you start. You make God first. Until he's first, you never get second. And I can't emphasize the principle enough. Second point is this. The first fruits must be offered. Say it out loud. The first fruits must be offered. Proverbs 3 tells us this. To honor the Lord with all. Everyone say all. He said, honor the Lord first with all of your increase. First, with honor God. It's an honor. God, I honor you with this. And I want to take you into two situations in the Bible to illustrate this to you. If you remember in the book of beginnings and in the book of Genesis, Cain and Abel brought offerings to God. God rejected the offering of Cain. He received the offering of Abel. And it seems kind of arbitrary. Was he just in a good mood for one, bad mood for the other? What's the deal? Very often, people who are very biblically ignorant or illiterate will say things like this, and I've had this asked of me probably more times than I can remember. Do I really have to tithe as a Christian? I know when they say that, they have no concept of what they're asking. They're saying, am I bound to have to do this? Is it really like a thing that, you know, God's going to like shoot me if I don't do this? Because they think it's about money. And they say, well, you know, because tithing is under the law. No. Tithing is in the very first family in the Bible. Abraham tithed to a type of Christ, a guy named Melchizedek, 430 years before the law. Tithing is in the New Testament. It is in the New Covenant. It is in the book of Hebrews. In fact, the book of Hebrews says that when you tithe, men that die will receive your tithe. But listen, but there he receives them. What do you mean he receives my tithe? Can we all appreciate that God doesn't need our money? What is he receiving? That you put him first. And that's why he said, when you do this, I will open the window gates of heaven and pour you out blessing you have not room enough to receive. In the scripture, Cain and Abel, listen to the scripture. Let me read it to you. Genesis 4, verse 3. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and their fat. And the Lord respected and received Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. I want you to see that one brother, Cain, in the process of time, took an offering out of his food, out of his produce, after he had consumed and did whatever he did with it. Then he took a portion of it and he brought it to God. But Abel took the firstborn and he brought it to God. And God, this is very important. It didn't just say he rejected the offering and received the offering. It said he received and respected Cain and rejected, if you will, received Abel and rejected Cain. Why? Because God can't be second. Where did these two young men learn this? They learned it from their parents. It's a principle throughout Scripture. When the children of Israel were delivered from Egypt and Moses led them through the wilderness, and finally Moses dies and Joshua takes over the leadership, and they're about to conquer their very first city, the city of Jericho. And you know the story, the old song, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down. It's an amazing story of faith. But God made a command of them as they entered into that first city. He said, now listen, all of the spoil of the first city you conquer, you bring into my house. All of it. I don't want a penny of it being consumed. Bring it into my house. In the new covenant, that's his church. Very often people who do tithe will split their tithe in 50 different places. I give it to Aunt Zelda because, you know, she needs her water bill paid. You cannot give what doesn't belong to you. You cannot split or put into a separate account as a slush fund what doesn't belong to you. You bring it to God first. It's the first. The first. And God did not respect Cain or his offering because he didn't put God first. Well, God commands them that they do this. Well, they conquer Jericho in this amazing, I mean, God-breathed victory. And then they're going to go conquer the next city, which is the city of Ai, spelled Ai. Pretty easy to pronounce. Ai. And it's such a small city compared to Jericho. The elders got together with Joshua and said, we don't even need to get a huge army. Let's just send X amount of people there. This will be no big deal. They went and they were routed and they lost. And now fear has gripped the entire nation. Where's God? What happened? Well, what they came to find out is a man named Achan took part of the spoil of Jericho and kept it. You see, the redemptive city was going to be Jericho. It was going to be the tithe that would redeem, if you will, all the other cities. And when Achan, one guy, God is showing them, I must be first. And listen to what God said about Achan. I want you to hear, this is exactly what the scripture says God said about Achan. This is not what you want God. God's going to use my name and talk about me. I don't want this list. He said, Achan has stolen from me. Now listen, and he brought what is cursed and put it among his own stuff. Achan stole what was mine. And what is mine that you keep is a curse to you. Just like any thief, it's a curse to steal. And he said, and he put it in his own stuff. And God said, you get that stuff and you bring it, all of the first city into the house of God. And they did it. And you know what happened to Achan and his family? They were executed. So, dog, man, that's rough. I'm glad God got happy in the New Testament because he sure was miserable in the old. People wonder about that. You know, Jesus is a nice part of God. God was just, you know, he was having a bad few millennia. God is so righteous and so holy that nothing that's not holy can be in his presence. So you see without a redeemer, and you see immediately the judgment of God, the judgment of God, the judgment of God, to where God actually sets up a system whereby their sins can be covered through the sacrifice of the clean animal to redeem the unclean. Pointing to a Savior, Jesus, again and again. But finally, when the Son of God came and bore the sin of the world, the wrath of God was satisfied. The justice of God was satisfied, but not through you or me paying the price, but God himself came, wrapped himself in human flesh so that he could pour his judgment on himself. So that he, Jesus, would become the Lamb of God. The sacrifice of the clean must redeem the unclean. And it's my hope today is that you see that when you bring your first fruits to God, what God was saying to the people of Israel, when you bring me the first of the city of the spoils, the rest of the cities will be redeemed. The first fruits are the redemptive portion of everything you have. And it isn't just my money. Don't give God the leftover of your time. Don't give him the leftover of your talent. Don't give him the leftover of your gifts and your plans for your future. Put him first. For so many Christians, even putting God first in their week and coming to a service and gathering as the scripture commands us to do is optional. Because, you know, we're kind of busy on the weekend. Then you're way too busy. Spend $50,000, $60,000 educating a child in a home that doesn't learn how to put God first. And all you're setting that person up for is to trust in something other than He. And there is nothing on this planet that can redeem but Him. No one. No one. That's why this is so important. This isn't about money. It's about letting the God who loves you just impact your life. In fact, the third point and the final one is this. The why before the what. The why before the what. See, when you don't understand why you do something, then it becomes a religion to you. After God taught them about the redemption of the clean to the unclean, listen to what He goes on to say in Exodus 13, verse 14. So it shall be when your son asks you in the time to come and says, why do you do this? Now he's talking about redeeming the clean with the unclean. Why are you, Dad? Why are you, I mean, you know, this is an agricultural society, Dad. You know, Dad, we make our living off these animals. And Dad, why is it every time one of our animals that's never had never given birth before gives birth, you kill it? What's the deal with that, Dad? Are you struggling? And Dad, when we had that donkey and we didn't have an animal to redeem it with, you said it, and you broke the neck of the baby donkey. Dad, you're cruel. Why would you do that? What the boy, he's saying, they're going to come to you and say, what does this mean? Why would anybody do this? And listen to what he said to tell them. And this is what I want you to say to them. That by the strength of hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And it came to pass when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go, that the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that opened the womb, but all the firstborns of my sons I redeem. He's saying, sweetheart, listen to me. This isn't just about animals. This is about you, my son, that I love being redeemed. And it shall be a sign upon your hand and as frontlets between your eyes. In other words, I want you to understand this like it was stamped on your hand or frontlets. It's what you'll see even today in Israel that looks like a little box that they'll wear on a string, and it's scripture that they keep on their forehead, and it's called a frontlet. He said, I want this to be so aware. I want them to understand the why before the what so much so like it's stamped on their hand and it's like a frontlet on their head, that they would understand it's only by the strength of the hand of God that He brought us out of Egypt. So in essence, here's what happened. Dad, why do you do this? And here's what he said. He said, son, you don't understand where you weren't born there. You don't understand what it was like. For generations, we were slaves in Egypt. Your mom and I were born as slaves. I went to bed every night of my life a slave. I never had the hope or the dream or the expectation ever that we would be anything but slaves and you would be anything but a slave. But God, by a mighty hand, redeemed us from the most powerful nation in the world. We were a nation of slaves among the most powerful nation of the world. And God judged Pharaoh. Why did God judge Pharaoh? You're reading the Bible where God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And some of them say, well, you see, God forced him to do something. No. Listen, Pharaoh was the God of the Egyptian. Pharaoh was a God. He lifted himself first above God. God's people were his slaves. Pharaoh's firstborn was a god. And God said, I will have no other gods before me. And 9 opportunities for Pharaoh to let them go. And he wouldn't do it because God was going to prove who is God. And Pharaoh, they went to bed. He said, so we went to bed that night. But before we did, Moses told us to do something very unusual. We were to kill a lamb, and we call that Passover now, honey, but let me explain what it really is. We would kill a lamb, a clean beast, and we would have to eat the and consume it. But then we would take its blood, and upon the lintels of our doors, we would put the blood. And that night, the night before we were free, we put that blood over the door of the little shack we lived in. And that night, honey, I didn't know what was going to happen, but the death angel passed, and God judged all of Egypt, and he judged Pharaoh and the firstborn of every beast and every firstborn male of every home, including Pharaoh. They died that night. And the God of the Egyptians fell before them, and Pharaoh let us go because he realized this God is God. He said, but son, I want you to understand something. That blood of the clean is what caused you to live. You're my firstborn. You would be dead. I would be dead. Others would have died. But death passed us because we put the blood of the clean above our... And where all the death was happening, it passed over us. Only by the blood of the Lamb, Son, were we redeemed. That's why I make God first. That's why I put Him first. Because you don't remember what this was like. So how do you apply this to your own life? One is as a tither is how you do it. The other is with your time. You put God first. Small groups. I'm too busy to recognize my part in the body of Christ. You're way too busy. Connect with His people. Make Him first. Teach your children how to put Him first. This is so critically important. So how do I apply it? Knowing that God, that Jesus is the firstborn of God, God's tithe, if you will. When I tithe, it's almost in a sense, if you will, like putting that blood above the door. So this understanding of the sacrifice of the clean in my life is what redeemed the unclean me. My tithe declares every time I do it, the simple principle, God, you're first. You're first in my life. And tithing isn't just about the blessing of God financially, which it promises to redeem your possessions. It also promises that your children, your progeny, your grandchildren will know the redemptive power of God. I want to make a statement that if you're a parent of any, if your kids are older, this will mean more to you. And if you're younger, please hear this if you have younger kids. The only redemption for our children, I mean the only way our children are redeemed will not be by the strength of our hands, but redeemed by a Savior. That's it. You say, well, I made mistakes as a parent. Join the club. Being the best parent in the world will not redeem your child. The only thing that will redeem your child from the hand of the enemy is the strength of God's hand, the redemption of the unclean by the clean, a Savior. You know, if you came up in our upstairs, all in our bedrooms where all our kids used to sleep, we still have one that's here for a little while, and I'm going to trap her there, but that's probably not good. I ordered just some red duct tape on Amazon. And I just took a strip of red duct tape and I put it above every one of those bedrooms, including ours. If you probably wouldn't notice it, but I did it for me. That every I walked by those rooms, I said, Father, only by your redemption will they walk with you. Only by the strength of your hand, that they might know you, that they might know the love that you are, that you died for them, that they could come to intimacy with you, that they could live in freedom and not be trapped by their past and live as a slave to sin. That they would discover why you made them and put them on the earth, and they would make an impact with their life. Lord, as hard as we tried, and we made so many mistakes, even if we were perfect, it's not the strength of our hand by which they will live and live in freedom and fulfill their purpose. It will only be by the strength of your hand. You know, years ago, this actually happened, this story that God said when they come and say, well, you know, Dad, why are you doing this? It actually happened. And I forget which one of our kids did it. But this was back in the day when people still wrote checks. If you're younger, a check is a piece of paper you could write. And, you know, most this generation doesn't use a lot of checks. That's fine. But that was back in the day when I would do my bills and I would always write my tithe check first. This is a principle. And then all the areas that we give offerings outside of our tithe, above our tithe, to different ministries. And we give every month into Kingdom Builders here at Victory, above our tithe. And we do it every month. Well, back then it was just a bunch of checks laid out. And I wrote them first and I put them away from everything. He said, why would you do that? It wasn't a legalistic thing. It was a principle in my heart. You're first. And you know, kids come in and out of where I would pay the bills. And I remember, I forget which one of them was. Look, they saw the amounts and they were like, are you crazy? Why would you, Dad, why are you doing this? Why would you give this kind of money away? It's crazy. Why? And when I read this scripture, I realized that we actually had it happen in our home. I said, you need to understand something, honey. Let me tell you why. Your mom was abandoned by her father, and her life was devastated. The chances of your mother marrying somebody who wasn't going to beat her like an animal was almost zero. And that woman that I love so much, your mom that you love, would have been abused her whole life. because her life was just broken. But God, by mighty hand, redeemed your mother. It took her out of a belief system and a broken heart. A little girl that had all the confidence in the world at 8 years old, and the next day was abandoned and left destitute by a father, thrown into abject poverty. And fear gripped her heart from that day forward. But God, I said, honey, you don't know, you only know us today. Your father would have been an addict. I was headed for addiction. There was no question in my mind. There is no question in my mind that my life would have been fighting addiction my whole life. And I don't know which ones, but there would have been at least two or three. That's who I was. But God, by a mighty hand, saved my life. I wouldn't have this life. I wouldn't have you. I wouldn't have your mom. But God, I gladly do this. I put him first because he redeemed my life. I long for you to live this way because life is so rotten and unfair, and there's an enemy of your soul that wants to destroy you. Tithing isn't about money. It's about a redeemer. It's about understanding the principle that you're first, that you gave your first for me, that the only hope of my redemption is a Savior, and he did this out of his love for me. My hope is that in this series, you don't leave here with any kind of religious guilt or obligation. Oh, I would have felt like I failed so miserably to help you to understand this. My hope is that you understand that by the strength of his hand, he can redeem any part of your life, your children, your grandchildren. When I make him first, he said, there are things I will do exceedingly and abundantly above you can ask or think, according to the power that's at work in you. My heart's desire for every one of us today is that you make him first. You make him first in your life. This is a principle throughout all of Scripture. And so here's my question for every one of us in a practical way, not in some theory. Is God first in your life? He will not force. I must make him first. Would you bow your heads with me and let me pray for you this morning? Father, I pray for every person here under the sound of my voice, whether they're watching online or in this room, that they would understand your amazing love, that you love them unconditionally, and love compelled you to die in their place. And you didn't just die so you could cleanse us, so you could stomach us. You died so we could become your sons and daughters. Bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh, that you would abide literally within us so much that you would call our very bodies the temple of your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to see that this is not about a religion or a religious game or hoops to jump through. This is about the God of the universe who loves us, who wants to know us more than we want to know him, who wants us to experience freedom more than we'll ever desire freedom, who wants us to know why he made us, who wants us to know why he put us on the earth more than we would ever want to know, and then he wants us to live out that purpose and make an impact in the earth, so that we can live the life we were meant to live and created to be. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus, I'm not asking you if you're religious, you go to church, you're a church member. Well, I was baptized as a baby, I must be a Christian. I was confirmed, I've been to this sacrament, I've had that sacrament. Now, none of those things are bad, but none of those things redeem you, none of them. There is no church that can redeem you. There is no sacrament that can redeem you. There is no priest, no pope, no pastor, no imam, no religious leader. I don't care who they are, what they are. They have no redemptive power. They are as unclean as the donkey. And they must be only redeemed by the clean. Only Jesus is the one who paid the debt so that we, the unclean, could be redeemed. And today you have a decision. What will you do with him? The first thing to make him first is to not reject him. And not try to redeem yourself, because you can't. And God said, what's not redeemed will die. And this isn't just physically. Jesus said there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And when human beings die, they go to either heaven or hell. That's why redemption, that's why this church is so committed to kingdom building, because there is a heaven and a hell on the other side of this life. And it's not a fantasy, it is a reality, and it will come to pass. And there is a redeemer that the world must know about. But you have a choice today to receive or reject that redeemer. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you say, Pastor, I want to be included in that prayer. I want to receive Christ in my life, I want to make him first. I want to receive the free gift of eternal life and my sin wiped away and become a child of the living God. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life, and you were to draw your final breath today and slip into an eternity, and you don't know where you'd go, but you want to receive Christ, you believe he's God's son, died for you, buried, rose from the dead, offering you eternal life, all you must do is invite him into your life. He turns no one away, and he'll redeem you. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, in a moment I'll ask you if you desire to be included in that prayer to lift your hand, and then I'll pray for you right where you're seated. The whole church will pray a prayer out loud together with you. I will not single you out. This isn't about your heroics. It's about his. It's about you receiving him. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. I want to receive Christ into my life. With every head bowed, every eye closed, would you just lift your hand right where you're seated, and I'll pray for you. Do it right now, and I'll pray for you right where you're seated. Thank you. God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You can see I'm not embarrassing anybody. Say, Pastor, include me with those that raised their hand. Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else? Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Listen, if you raised your hand, or you should have, would you please pray this out loud? If you desire Christ in your life, he turns no one away. I didn't raise my hand. Will he come? If you invite him, he'll come. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves you. Pray it out loud where you hear it. We'll all pray it together with you. Say it out loud where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you by Jesus Christ, the one who paid my debt, the clean who paid the price to redeem me, the unclean. So I open the door of my life and heart. And Jesus, I receive you now to be my Savior and Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is wiped away, and I am heaven bound, and Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? God bless you. Before we leave today, I want to make sure if you prayed with me today or recently, or maybe you just your walk with God is just not really strong, take a next step, would you? Make a next step. Get connected to a small group. It's such an important next step. Keep walking with God. Keep coming back. Keep embracing what God has said and done for you. It's so important that you go on with God. If you've never let us know that you prayed that prayer, all you have to do to let us know is text the word redeemed to 97,000. Do it. You can do it right now. We'll send you a video right back to you from me that will help you to take next steps. Because you just don't want to give your life to Jesus. You want to live the life you were meant to live by his grace. Oh, it's an amazing thing. Again, give everyone a hand who prayed with me today, giving their life to Christ. What a great decision.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.